portion of the chapter defending his apostleship, because the church at Galatia had been challenged on some doctrinal problems, and Paul is making it very clear that the gospel that God gave to him, the gospel that we preach, the gospel of the grace of God, is the only gospel, and all other gospels are false gospels, and those who preach them, as he said last week, are to be accursed. As we see in the remaining part of the chapter, Paul then finishes by showing that God was directly involved in calling him to be an apostle, and that he therefore has the authority that he's putting forward as a church planter, as a preacher, and as one to give us scripture, doctrine. So we'll start there in verse 13, where we finished last week, and he says, "You have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me." So we see Paul's progression as recounting his calling from persecutor to preacher. That's Paul. So let's pray. Lord, I pray now that we would learn and we would grow through your word. We thank you for the privilege of meeting in the middle of the week and opening your word together and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. So we give you the time. Pray you'll be glorified in it and guide us. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing of note before I forget. God called Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. Called him directly. But after he called him, after Paul got saved and was miraculously set aside for this task, he didn't immediately go and start church planting. Did you see that? 3 years he spent in the desert alone with God. That was the preparation time. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. Paul spent 3 years with Jesus. We saw this last week. That was one of the 2 weeks ago. One of the qualifications of an apostle was you had to have spent time with Jesus, and Paul met that in his own unique way in those 3 years in the Arabian desert. But he's recounting now for the Galatian Christians his background and how he says there in verse 13, my former behavior, my conversation was in the Jews' religion. Notice he calls it a religion, because that's what it is, sadly. It wasn't based on Scripture. It was based on what the Pharisees and scribes had come up with. And he said, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, this phrase, church of God, is an important phrase, as you'll find on Sunday morning when we start our brighter study. Because when some Baptists see that phrase, they only see a local church. But we can all see very clear that's not what Paul's talking about in this context, is it? He's talking about he persecuted the church as a whole. He persecuted the dispensational group called the Church of God. And there are many scriptures that show that this is what Paul persecuted. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Yes, he persecuted individual churches, but multiple ones. But here he's talking about a singular phrase, the church of God. He's talking about the church as a whole. He persecuted the body of Christ. Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's not talking about the local church. It's talking about the church, the singular body of Christ made up of all saved people, which we read about over and over in the scriptures. But I'll give you some samples quickly. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Notice it says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then look at Ephesians 5:25. And I just want you to get a hold of this great truth that when Paul was persecuting the church of God, he was persecuting the body of Christ, what we all are baptized into at salvation. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Isn't it sad that there are some Baptists that see that as local? I don't know how they get around that one, because Jesus didn't just give himself for independent Baptist churches, did he? He gave himself for the church. And then Colossians 1:18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then while you're there, look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now that's just a sampling. But Paul said that I, as a zealous Jew following their religious system, was persecuting the church of God. But he was doing it zealously, but he was zealously wrong. This is important for us. Look at verse 14 of our passage, Galatians 1. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. There are many people in this world that really believe that if you just have enough zeal, it will get you to heaven. Zeal is not going to get anybody to heaven. Only Jesus is going to get you to heaven. It doesn't matter how zealous you are. If you're zealously wrong, you're going to go to hell. And it's not based upon whether you're a nice guy. It's based upon what the Bible says. And our Creator made it very clear that there's only one way to heaven. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And Paul is admitting, I was zealous. I was completely one of the most zealous among mine equals in following what the traditions of my father, in persecuting the church, but I was wrong. The issue isn't zeal, it's truth. You must follow the Creator's way, and he wrote it down for us. But this is a good example of where the Jews are even today. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Remember when we went through Romans, we found that chapters 9, 10, and 11 are all about Israel. Romans is a very Jewish book, actually. But notice Romans chapter 10, verse 2, he says, talking about the Jewish nation, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So they're zealous, but they're zealously wrong, because it's not according to the truth of God's word. And there are people all around the world, many of them more zealous than most Christians. Many Muslims are very zealous. They're willing to kill people based on their system, aren't they? But is that zeal going to get them to heaven? No. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. It doesn't matter how zealous you are. And so here we see Romans 10, 2. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And Paul says, that was me. I was zealous. I was following the traditions of my father. I was persecuting the church because I was told by my religious leaders that the church was wrong and that Jesus was a false prophet. And I did everything in my power to stop Christianity. But verse 15 of Galatians 1, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And of course we can read in Acts chapter 9 where Paul was called by God directly. Very unique calling where God struck him down blind from heaven and said, you know, why are you persecuting me? Read it sometime. You're persecuting me. And he said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus Christ. You're persecuting me. So how could Paul have been persecuting Jesus when Jesus was in heaven? That's a good question. We just read how. Because he was persecuting the body of Christ. We are Jesus, amen, when we get saved. And so Paul was persecuting Christ himself. But God reached down through his mighty grace and chose Paul and called him by his grace so that he, verse 16, might preach him among the heathen. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Paul was called to preach the gospel, but he was also called, as we'll see in a moment, to preach in verse 23, the faith. Those are two different preachings in Scripture. We're all called to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? That's our mission, is to preach the gospel. And then, pastors are called to preach the word to God's people. Paul did both. He preached the gospel to the lost, and then, when the church got established, he preached the word so that they could grow in their faith. And he could teach them about Christianity. And so first to preach among the heathen. He says, God called me by his grace that I might preach him among the heathen. We're all called to do that. Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. But then he makes it clear. He wants us to understand, like we saw last week, he didn't immediately go and spend time with the other apostles so that they could teach him. No, he went out into Arabia, as we see there in verse 17. I went into Arabia and returned into Damascus, and then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So Paul didn't even see Peter until after he'd been saved for 3 years. All the while, Peter's ministry was moving forward. But Paul was in the desert. Oftentimes when we look in the book of Acts and we picture Peter and then it transitioning from Peter to Paul in Acts, we see it as kind of an instantaneous transition, but it wasn't. Paul got saved and then didn't start preaching for 3 years because he had to meet the same criteria that the other apostles had to meet, didn't he? And that's to be trained personally by Jesus Christ for 3 years, which is what he was able to enjoy there in the desert. And as he says, verse 22, up to that point, I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea. Nobody knew who I was in Judea. They did hear about me, he says, verse 23, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith, that the same one who was a persecutor is now a preacher. Amen. What a great testimony. That he went from persecutor to preacher. And he not only preached the gospel, but as we see in verse 23, he preached the faith. He preached the word so that people could grow in their faith. Let's look at Ephesians 3:8 and we'll see this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. That Paul spent, whenever he would start a church, he would spend much time there preaching the word of God to God's people. Ephesians 3, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now we've looked at this before, but what's this mystery? It's the church age. It's the church. As Paul said, no one knew anything about it until Paul revealed it directly from God. And Paul, look at 2 Timothy 1:11. Paul was called to not only preach the gospel to the lost, but then to preach to the churches, that they might understand God's plan for their lives. Notice 2 Timothy 1:11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. There's Paul's ministry all wrapped up into three words, huh? A preacher, a teacher, and an apostle. That was Paul. And then he finishes there in verse 24 of our passage. When people heard that he went from a persecutor to a preacher, verse 24, they glorified God in me. The Christians said, glory to God. God has saved one of our greatest enemies. The one who used to round us up and take us to prison, the one that used to see Christians killed, is now preaching about Jesus Christ. And it says, they glorified God in me. Paul's testimony brought glory to God to people's lips. Our testimony should do the same. Amen. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify. There's that same word. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul said, when people heard my testimony, they glorified God. That God saved me from being a persecutor of the church to being the preacher to the church. What a blessed testimony. But Paul said, I persecuted the church of God until the grace of God came down and saved me. Then my new mission was to preach the gospel to the heathen and then preach the faith, as he says there in verse 23. Once they got saved, to preach the faith, teach them God's precious word. And they glorified God in me from persecutor to preacher. What a testimony. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful testimony from the life of Paul. And Lord, I pray that when people hear our testimony, they would also glorify you. Lord, because we do shine before them when people see the change that you brought in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we, like Paul, would be always striving to tell people the great news of our Savior, tell them our testimony, and just share with them the goodness of God. Thank you for tonight's passage and for speaking to us from it. We love you in Jesus' name.